Hong Kong Football Podcast, coming to you once again from a coronavirus hit West Kowloon. The great Hong Kong Premier League lockout continues, but we are here to bring you up to speed with the latest news on likely return scenarios, a bit of transfer chatter, and some troubling reports about financial woes at local district teams. My name, as always, is James Legg, and I am joined, I'm pleased to say, by Tobias Dusser. Hello, Toby. How are you?
Hello, James. I'm great. I mean, given the circumstances, I'm relatively okay.
Yeah. Everyone on the Hong Kong Football Podcast team is still healthy. Yeah. And, you know, even things locally in all of Hong Kong are looking quite good. You know, there's no new cases for... Well, there were none yesterday. The day before, there was only a couple. The day before that, I think there was no new cases. So, you know, things are looking up from a pretty dire base, admittedly. But yeah, does that mean that we will soon have football back on the pitches of Mong Kok and Cham Shui Po?
Strangely, no. This is not what it means. You can hear now all the chat around the world that they want to resume with football behind closed doors rather soon, in May or June, even though they have still hundreds of cases every day. And in Hong Kong, where we had very recently zero cases, this is not going to happen. And we might see no football until late summer, early autumn.
Wow, okay. Why is that?
I think it very much reveals the state of Hong Kong football that it has been in for a very long time. But yeah, I don't think that Hong Kong football has the money and the commitment to keep a behind closed door season that is on and off going after a very rattled season anyway. And yeah, the clubs don't want to extend contracts for players. They don't want to pay for players over the summer months where it's nothing going to happen. So they largely decided that they will call it a day. And of course, as we said before, in Hong Kong, teams depend very much on the public venues. And as long as they are not open and as long as they don't have the guarantee that they can use the stadiums, they can plan nothing ahead, really.
Yeah, Hong Kong football clubs, they're not rich. And like all football clubs, most of their outlay is on player wages. So they've got a bunch of players who are sat around doing nothing, essentially, because they can't even train. And these guys are having to pay these players. Of course, it's not the players' fault, but it's a very awkward situation, isn't it? There's no money coming in. They're not bottomless pits of money anyway. And yeah, it leaves them in a difficult situation. How have different chairmen of different clubs responded?
As expected, different chairmen expected very differently to the situation, but this very much reflected their financial circumstances that they are in anyway. You could imagine that Philip Lee of Rangers was very fast to tell everyone that Rangers are not going to play anymore in the remainder of the season. They have to release players. They have to save money. I think they only had an entire budget of $4 million for the entire season. So they were calling it a day. Kitchy, Eastern, R&F, like the teams that are on the top of the table, they were still a little bit more keen on having the thing somehow to continue, although there was some disagreement how this should resume and when it should be resuming. There was an idea early on that maybe the entire new season is just going to start in the next year and that we might switch to a calendar year, but this then was very soon rejected by the Hong Kong FA. You can still find some news online about this news piece back then.
Are there any local football news websites that you would recommend, Toby?
No, not at all. I'm not that biased. I'm too biased, but I'm not that biased.
Very good. I guess it also, the responses of the different clubs reflect their, not just their financial standing, but their league standing, right? Rangers were bottom, 5 points after 9 games. They were not going to do anything this season. Most people were surprised that they'd even entered this season anyway. However, teams such as RNF, who were the favourites for the title, and then 3 points behind them in second place, Kitchy, who really got themselves out of a little rut recently and looked like they could put up a challenge, they're still up for finishing this season, right?
Yeah, very much so. And it seems now that the most likely scenario, the one that was approved by the Hong Kong FA, is that the current season will resume again as early as mid-August. So I think there are, around 6-7 rounds left that still need to be played, as well as 3 cup finals, the Senior Shield, the FA Cup, and then the Supling Cup. And this might last then until end of October, beginning of November. And then immediately after this current season has been finished, they would start into the new season, probably with a shorter fixture schedule. Of course, as we have discussed before, the easiest would be to take out the Supling Cup fixtures and you probably would still have enough time to finish the rest of it. But yeah, there would then not be a break between these two seasons, and the kind of most realistic scenario to finish the current season still under kind of fair circumstances. But it's still a little bit contested, the whole thing.
And not all of the teams are going to compete, whatever happens, right? Rangers are done.
Exactly.
So what happens?
So teams are given the opportunity to pull out if they don't want to finish that season because it's additional financial burden to them. And some teams have already said that they are not going to continue. These are Pegasus and Rangers in particular. Pegasus from the beginning was very reluctant to spend any more money.
Again, they're also having a terrible season and they look rudderless at the moment. So
exactly. For them is nothing to gain if they would continue because the Hong Kong FA already made it clear that no one is going to be relegated. So Rangers and Pegasus, by refraining from continuing the season, just have nothing to gain if they would continue and nothing to lose if they don't continue. So it's a kind of sensible decision for them. Yuen Long and Tai Po are also a bit questionable if they're going to continue the season. Happy Valley also have not decided. So in the very worst scenario, we would have like 5 to 6 teams left that would then play the remainder, and then it would not be clear if the games that they have played against all the teams that have dropped out before will be annulled as well, and if they still count for the final table, or if it's then just like this kind of mini 6-team league and we have like a very odd, strange winner eventually that will have the 2019-2020 Hong Kong protest coronavirus Premier League title eventually.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of feels as though no matter what happens, I mean, even if we finish this and RNF win or Kitchy win, I mean, the saying in sport is it will have an asterisk next to it, right? Is that no one is really going to respect that league title. And I actually think rightly so. Like, if you haven't played every team twice, then how real is your win? Which I have to say is a shame because over the, 4 years of existence now, RNF, I think, have proved quite a few people wrong in that, sure, they've annoyed, alienated people by A, being from mainland China, and B, having more money than everyone else, but they have actually put in place a really good team. They've built, including Hong Kong players. Of course, they've taken some of the best players, such as Igor Sartori, from other clubs, but their project was actually coming to its kind of first culmination. They were very likely to win the league, I thought. And I kind of feel sorry for them. I feel a little bit sorry for Yeung Ching Kwong, their coach as well. Like, no, but seriously, so he was Eastern coach when they won the league, but he left halfway through that season. So he's kind of already got a half title. Pegasus, he took to third and they were never really likely to win the league. And then now RNF with his best chance to finally win a Hong Kong Premier League title.
Yeah.
And
maybe it's him. Maybe he is cursed.
Yeah. Or maybe it's his angry backroom staff. Brought bad karma. I don't know. I'm just saying, I feel sorry for the guy. And I do think that it's a shame. Well, of course it's a shame. And I feel as though it is still incumbent upon us to point out that none of this is actually important. And so when it's a shame in the context of football, and of course, while people are ill and dying and having their businesses ruined and losing their jobs, whether or not Yuen Ching Kwong gets to win the league is not important.
Well, I disagree.
And speaking of financial hits, it seems as though Southern are in a bit of trouble financially. We know that their coach, Ricky Cheng, has left, although that was for footballing reasons rather than financial. But I hear that players have been asked to take a pay cut and some foreign players, key players, such as Travis Major, Diego Martins and Tikau, have left the club.
That's right. And you could also say that the sponsor, Kun Chung, of course, have come under financial pressure as well. Their main business is in cross-border transportation with Shenzhen, Hong Kong, which basically came to a halt since January. And also before that, during the protest, their business already declined. So in general, I think the players agreed to take a 30% pay cut during this time. Kun Chung is still committed to support them in the future, but it will be with a more humble budget.
I mean, Travis Major is a major loss, if you'll forgive the pun.
Well done on that one.
One of the best strikers in the Premier League. He's done very well in his career in Hong Kong, in his time mostly at Pegasus, but also recently at Southern. 8 goals in the league so far this season, just one behind the top scorers, Serge Deble and Michael Ndri. Diego Martins is also an important player. He's an interesting guy. Always kind of been in and out of teams. You know, he was at Tai Po, was at Pegasus, but his goal scoring record and his assists stack up quite nicely. And Tikau is not as noticeable a player as those two. He's more of a sitting midfielder, but none of them are players that they would be happy to lose. So what does that mean for them? Are they also going to drop out of the league? Or
I hope not. Otherwise, it would really look very, very sad at the end. But I think they are committed to continue. And then nonetheless, for the future season, I believe the general season goals will also be more humble, given that after all the investment they have put in the last few years, no piece of silverware has coming in. Mm. One of the reasons why Ricky Cheng then was also probably asked to leave. And yeah, I think now they maybe just take a step back and maybe we want to establish a mid-table team.
Which is a shame, because since they entered the Hong Kong Premier League in 2015-16, they've been a great team. They've been a real well-known as a kind of tough opponent for supposedly better teams. They've always been a real banana skin for other clubs. And of course, they've been amongst the top three or four themselves in certain seasons. Are players who leave during this period, are they, do you think, going to be able to find new clubs in Hong Kong? And if so, would they remain, for example, cup-tied? Or should they?
I think there has been an ongoing discussion, especially for the cup finals, that the player should still be cup-tied. Particularly Lehmann have been very, very explicit that it would be unfair if this is not the case.
Lehmann with the most stable squad in Hong Kong.
Particularly given the situation also that Eastern have strengthened their squad significantly over the winter period, taking in players from Taipo, taking in players from Kitchi and so on. And they could have not used them in the Senior Shield final. So Lehmann were quite keen on having this cup-tied regulation going. But the question is how realistic it is eventually. Because even Lee Chi-kin, the head coach of Eastern, has pointed out that you cannot be sure if you have enough players that could play if everyone is going to be cup-tied in autumn. So it is yet to see how the HKFA is working that out eventually. But if it's happening that mainly for the cup final, meaning Senior Shield and FA Cup final. But yeah, the summer transfer will be quite interesting. Therefore, you have asked if players are able to find a new club. I think at the moment it's quite difficult because no one wants to sign up any player. Usually the contracts are anyway running out in May. This is a very Hong Kong style football contract, meaning they're only 1 year contract with players. They are not paying them usually over the summer, and then they will sign a new contract for the preseason in August and then for the coming season. Now it's unlikely that players who are left now can find anything between now and maybe August, and no club wants to probably invest into a new player if it's not sure if the season will start or not. Because even now, behind the August season, there might still be a question mark, right? No one really knows.
And on a serious note, we do have to extend our support to these footballers. You know, these aren't rich guys, you know, this isn't the most lucrative league in the world. It's not like we're talking about, you know, cosseted millionaire stars. These are people who get the MTR to train in and, you know, to be told there's just no football anymore and your monthly wage just doesn't exist anymore, or to have to take a massive pay cut. And the amount of uncertainty that's going to come from being released in a foreign country, presumably they're going to struggle to get back to their home countries and there's going to be quarantine and all this. So, you know, sending our best wishes to any player in that situation. It absolutely sucks and we hope that we see you back in the Hong Kong Premier League soon. Lester has been in touch, our regular correspondent. He said, I'd be interested to hear which club you guys think will benefit / suffer the most from the hiatus. I suppose I would wonder if anyone has benefited from this.
Yeah, I almost agree. I think it's a kind of lose-lose situation for anyone. I mean, R&F are the ones who, if they would carry on to win the league, very few people would acknowledge that this was a proper champion title. And so it's not really what they wanted to achieve, right? Because this is what they were fighting for. And so if they win the league, everyone will diminish their achievement. If Kitchi would win the league eventually, it would also not mean so much because people would say, okay, they won the league because of this entire hiatus and because the lineups changed and because maybe fixtures were annulled in the past. So then it would also be meaningless to a certain extent or like have less recognition. So I feel that no matter what happens, it will always have a stain on it this season and a kind of diminished achievement, which is a bit sad. But yeah, this said though, probably R&F have the most to lose in that regard.
Plus they've had to decamp their entire operation to Hong Kong, right?
Right.
They are a Guangzhou based team, 200 kilometers away. I just guessed. It is, right?
Roughly. It's 45 minutes by train.
Welcome
right?
to the Hong Kong Geography Podcast, in which I wildly guess the distances between places. Anyway, it's not near. It's a different, I don't want to say country, but there's a border in between. And they've had to move everything to Hong Kong. Presumably they've had to put up players in accommodation and it's really going to have messed with their operations. And they've been in that situation since January or February. So I think it sucks for them a lot. But you could also say at least they get to carry on existing because they've got the money. Can we talk about something that isn't depressing? Have you got any,
you mean
any news?
Teams that go bankrupt?
Yeah, I mean, well, speaking of disgruntlement. Uh-huh. There is a Division 1 team, which is quite miffed about the whole situation.
Yes, the very infamous Resources Capital.
We've been absolutely bossing Division 1 this year, by the way. I kind of missed this.
They put their eyes on promotion very early on, and this was the season goal for them, to win Division 1. They were on the best way to do that, leading the table. And yeah, now it seems that there's no promotion going to happen, even though there's still some lobbying going on. And we know in Hong Kong football, it could be just decided 2 days before the new season starts that one team is dropping out and it's going to be replaced, or that maybe we have then 11 teams or 12 teams or whatever. So I think we haven't heard the last word on this.
Yeah, and even I think I read about Poi Kwan Kei, the chairman of the HKFA, said, well, if someone does drop out next year, they'll be first in line. Resources Capital will be the first in line to take up. So although it's not in their hands in the way that it should have been, yeah, like you say, it's far from over, I think.
Although it would be interesting who would be the candidate that might drop out, but unfortunately, we have heard some bad news from Tai Po.
What is that news?
This news suggests that the club has struggled to pay the salaries in recent weeks and recent months. We already heard some rumors before that early on, I think in the season, that they have not anymore the best financial standings, that last season was kind of a big burden for them eventually, and winning the championship, having blown up their salary expenses. So they wanted to save money this season, but didn't seem to work out. And also the sponsorship situation didn't work out. And now the rumors are, it's all still kind of alleged, that they're struggling to pay salaries and maybe the players also will not continue staying there anymore. And it might mean that we see them soon withdrawing from at least current season, and their future is not sure yet. James is shaking his head.
I was hoping that this podcast episode would bring a little sprinkling of levity into the otherwise bothersome lives of our listeners. And I feel as though right now all we've brought is buzzkill.
Seems to never listened to the Hong Kong Football Podcast before.
Yeah, I guess I shouldn't have asked for more than it was capable of. So Tai Po, current champions.
Right.
Might also withdraw. Is anyone left from last season anyway? Like, obviously they lost most of their players in the great exodus to Eastern, and then, but then even more left over the winter. Is it just Dudu and Lugo on their own?
Well, pretty close.
Talking about how good things were last year. WhatsApp and Igor Sartori. He doesn't even respond anymore. This cool friends in Guangzhou, now in Hong Kong, but he still doesn't want to hang out with them. He keeps making excuses, so I hear.
Yeah, anything positive you could tell about Hong Kong football? Anything comes to mind?
Wellington D'Souza's got a Hong Kong passport.
Very soon, yes. Yeah. In summer, he will apply, which will be good if there will ever be again international games happening, hopefully later this year. So Wellington D'Souza, I think, will apply, and also Thomas Maronesi. Mm. He has been here for 7 years. Might not be the immediate candidate, I think, for the national team. Also mainly because the Hong Kong team has at least a good lineup of defenders already, so it will be hard for defender to get in. It will be much easier for Wellington D'Souza to be called up, given that Giovanni Da Silva is approaching the age of 40. So that there might be more opportunities there. In other transfer news, there are two players that are a little bit struggling with their return to China. Alex Akande, who has been with Dalian for a while, I was not sure if he's going to continue there, has returned to the club, but it seems that Benitez, head coach of Dalian, is not really planning
Rafa
with him.
Rafa Benitez.
Right.
Rafa, as he's known in the northeast of England. Sorry, carry on. Maybe not in the northeast of China. I don't know.
Probably not. But he will maybe look for being loaned out eventually. Alex, not Rafa. maybe to a China League One club. And also Andy Russell, who has played for Hebei.
Not Hebei.
Not Hebei.
Which is an important distinction right now.
Thank you for pointing it out. Well, what comes to mind when you think about Hebei?
The bountiful, fresh meat markets.
Well, yeah, they also have vegetable markets, though. They are wet markets. Do we get into the wet market discussion? You can get tofu at wet markets.
You can get other things.
Yeah, you can get a lot of things. That all said, Hebei, not Hubei, both very nice provinces. But yeah, he has not got a lot of playing time there as well, and might also look for a loan, most likely a China League One side. For the CSL, it looks at the moment that they are going to get back in action by late May or June. So that's kind of good news, but it might also happen just behind closed doors, of course. But yeah, they haven't played any game yet in the season, and the new season has yet to start.
I feel as though we may have skipped over the Souza news a little bit, because he's a brilliant player on his day. He makes some erratic decisions, but in terms of his natural ability, his physical attributes, he's currently one of the best players in the Premier League, and he's still only 30. And so what I would...
This is a very Hong Kong sentence, right?
No, it is, but...
No, it, yeah, I agree.
Given you and I both know that that's basically the very bottom of the scale in terms of when you get a player naturalized, right? And let's say things get back to normal in a year, right? In terms of international football. It won't be 100% normal, of course not, but let's say things get back to some kind of normalcy. It's possible that he could have a full qualifying rotation, you know, like the kind of the four-year rotation, whilst still at a normal age.
Right.
And, you know, when you think about players, you know, very talented Hong Kong players who've joined the national team, you know, who were the best players in the league. Jordy springs to mind. I think he was 36. Ita Parika springs to mind. I think he was 37. Of course, Giovanni. So actually, not since, say, Alex Akande or Sandro, have you had players entering the national team set up at what you would call a natural footballing age. So I actually think it could be quite big news if and when he plays, but then we honestly have no clue when things are going to get back to normal. Do you know who I am interested to know about? Miksu Partalainen, and his life must be quite boring at the moment.
Yeah, I guess so.
He has nothing.
Well, there are a lot of video studies, I believe.
Yeah.
Watching the Hong Kong Bahrain game for the 150th time, probably.
And getting angrier and angrier every time. Yeah. Tough life being an international coach at the moment.
Yeah, but also tough life being a local football fan at the moment.
Yeah.
No, it's a shared burden eventually.
Yeah, so basically what we've managed to do is talk about lots of depressing things. The one silver lining here is that Wellington D'Souza is still only 30. He's actually born 2 weeks after I was.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
So now we know when you were born.
Yeah. Oh, there's going to be all kinds of identity theft happening.
Right, exactly. There'll be a new James Lake Twitter handle popping up.
Okay, so on that note, listener, we will leave you to do whatever it is you're doing under the straitened circumstances that we find ourselves.
Washing hands, buying
hands,
sanitizers.
Yeah.
Cooking at home.
Injecting yourself with bleach, according to Donald Trump.
Telling your friends that we are not in quarantine in Hong Kong and we are allowed to go out anytime we want to.
Yeah, they love it when they hear that. Okay, until, I don't know when we'll be back, maybe in a couple of weeks. We're planning on an episode of a bit more nostalgia, looking back on when Hong Kong actually had football. You know, those were the days.
Yeah. Long time.
Until then, stay safe, stay healthy, all the best. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Like, that's a place for you.